James chapter 2, starting in verse 8. The topic prior to this, James has been talking about growing into a deeper depth of spirit. And while you're doing so, don't hang on to a particular spirit, which is a respect of person spirit. A respect of person spirit is one that treats one person well and another person poorly. And some of the tie-ins about respect of person make it clear what's at the bottom of it. I'm going to treat you good because you won the lottery and you got $1 million and you can do something good for me. Or because you're really smart and I can get something from you. Or whatever it is. You, on the other hand, you don't dress too good, you don't smell so hot, so I'm going to treat you pretty badly. Well, that's a respect of person spirit. What's at the bottom of it is, what am I going to get out of it? So James has been working on that particular spirit, that as we're growing in this deeper depth of spirit, we really do need to have God's love working through us and not be playing favorites toward, well, you know, look at that person over there. I think I'll sow seeds to them, and that person over there, how could God possibly care about them? God certainly may want to sow seeds to both of those people. And so we need to be a willing vessel and not get a respective person spirit in the way. It'll slow God down, working through us anyway. So in verse 8 he says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So the royal law that he's talking about here is the one that a lot of us learned when we were little. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, or love your neighbor as yourself. It's kind of the same idea of letting love be your guide. Now, pretty much all of us were growing up at a time when we did not have a deeper depth of grace and discernment. So we couldn't really do that. But God has brought us in here and given us an opportunity to find evil spirits that say, what about me? Me first. Get me in the way. And he's taught us to be able to actually love someone else without our old man, evil spirits, getting in the way of that. So we really can learn how to love our neighbor as ourselves and to treat others in the way that we would like to be treated. So this royal law here is to be governed by the law of liberty, which is, what is the motive for why you say or do what you're doing? And if it's something other than love, then we need to dig a little bit in that area and find out what we need to cast out and maybe if we need to get more love in that area. So he says, if you do fulfill that law, and as he says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you're doing well. That is a good thing, to learn how to have the love for someone else in the same way that you would want them to love you, or in the same way that we can learn how to love our own soul. That's not always really a good test when we first come in here, because mostly we don't love ourselves too much because we know those awful thoughts that we have that we hide from everyone else. And we sort of think, if you really knew me, you wouldn't love me. So it's after we learn that those thoughts aren't us and we start casting those out that we really can even learn to love the mixture that God made right between our own two ears. So we can learn how to love someone else the way we would love our own soul. And it's, like I said, a twofold process there. But he says, if you have respect to persons, you do commit sin, and you're convinced of the law as a transgressor. We're going against God's law if we have a respect of persons. We pick and choose. I love you, but I don't love you. So this is not the way God planned it. God doesn't pick and choose. God looks on our hearts and sees the choices that we make and gives to us according to our choices. Verse 10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So he says, if you keep the whole law, but you offend in one point, you're guilty of all. And he gives an example. You don't commit adultery, but you kill. Well, when you go back to that Old Testament in Exodus, God gave those Ten Commandments there. It was the same God that gave don't kill, that gave don't steal, that said don't commit adultery, that said, anyway, all the ten. Same God. And he was working on one principle. Twofold, but one. love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The first four were based on love God with everything that you've got. That's what Jesus said. The whole law and the prophets is fulfilled in this. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. So the principle that God was working on when he gave the Ten Commandments was love. So if we don't commit adultery, but we kill, we've broken the law of love, because that was what God was working on. That was what was guiding him when he gave those laws, was love. He was trying to teach mankind how to love one another and how to love him. So if we break one of those, you know, in lesser depths, we may have gone down those Ten Commandments and thought, well, I'm doing okay with that one, and that one's pretty good. Never made any little idol thing. Okay, I think I love God, and oh yeah, I'm not working on Sunday, and oh, I don't cuss, which is what we thought, not taking the name of the Lord in vain. We thought that's what it was. And we click them all off, and maybe we're doing pretty good, maybe just one or two that we weren't quite doing. What we find out, according to this, is that's not good enough. 80% may have been good enough to pass a test in school, but it's not good enough with the law of God, because it's all based on one principle, and that is love. So if we're breaking one of those laws, we're really breaking the whole thing. And so we're not really keeping God's law, the whole thing. We're not doing it. And he sums it up with verse 12, "So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." So in this deeper depth of spirit, okay, we've just seen the Olympics, and some of us saw the high jumpers and the pole vaulters. They kept raising the standard that they had to jump over. Well, it's that way in this deeper depth of spirit. No longer is it enough to just do the appropriate actions on the outside. Don't kill. Don't steal. The law that we are called to fulfill is, what was my motive when I said that thing? What was my motive when I did that thing? And that is being governed, or as it says here, judged by the law of liberty. There's a good deal of freedom in this deeper depth of spirit. We don't have all those natural do's and don'ts of the law anymore that we have to keep. So the standard is raised. God never raises a standard, though, without giving us the tools to be able to accomplish that. The tools that he's given to accomplish that is that we have discernment, which is a gift that God has given to help us separate from any thought that says, but what about me? Well, I'll love you if, or I'll love you because. Any of those things that get in the way of having God's pure love. Discernment can help us separate between us and those thoughts, and then we can be prayed for and love actually deposited to our mind, just like you might go out to your garden and start planting corn if you wanted to grow ears of corn. What we want to grow between our ears in here is more love. We can actually be prayed for to grow more seeds of love, and that's our little garden. Next step is what James had been talking about prior in this book, and that is to make sure that we use that every opportunity that we have. It's not enough to just have it, but when we're given the opportunity to exercise any certain thing of God, and we choose not to, we're kind of decreasing what we have right then. We know in the natural, if you've ever broken an arm or a leg, and it's been in a cast, when you get it out of that cast, it looks really flimsy. It's because it hasn't been exercised, and all the muscle tone, you've lost all this strength, and it just looks really flimsy. When we first start in this process, our love probably looks pretty flimsy to God's spiritual eyes, so he wants us to exercise our love, to exercise that, to make it grow, and that means using it every opportunity that we get, and when an evil spirit is keeping us from it, to be very diligent to find out what that evil spirit is so that we can cast that out, so that it can't put a restriction on the love that God wants to grow in us anymore.